Well, the Lord be with you. I'd like to welcome each and every one here. We're glad you could come out and be with us on this third Sunday of Advent. Appreciate you being out with us today. Welcome each and every one, visitors, regulars alike. Glad you're here. Several announcements and concerns for you. Seniors are going on a trip this Thursday. They're going over to Denton. They will be leaving at 3:45. I take it that is in the afternoon, not in the a.m., I think, because the a.m. might be a little hard to get up, but 3:45 that afternoon going over to Denton, so be aware of that if you're a senior. Also, just some folks to keep in your prayers, if you will. Frank Brady, he had surgery this week. He is getting ready to be moved very soon to Autumn Care. We'll be there for about 6 weeks. So just know that he's going there to do rehab and things. Also, continue to remember Jake Nance. Jake is starting treatment for cancer. Be praying for him. God can do a lot of things. Prayer is the greatest healing tool of all. Medical science is great, and it does wonderful things. And thank God for doctors and nurses and staff and scientists and all that. But God is still the great physician in heaven. Also, Connie's husband here, our secretary, Ray, he was taken this week up to the hospital by ambulance. They weren't sure if he'd had a heart attack. They weren't sure if it was a blood clot going through the lungs. They ruled all that out, and they still don't know. They sent him home, and they're still not sure. But his heart was about ready to blow out of his chest. It was just pumping so fast. But they've got him back in a straight, it could have been arrhythmia, who knows. But they've got him straightened up now. He's back home doing well. But keep Ray in your prayers. Also, we have so many folks on prayer concerns and just too many to truly mention. But remember all of those folks, if you would, that they've been in and out of the hospital this week. Also, Libby Honeycutt had surgery. Libby, I should probably be home. I talked with her the other day, but had back surgery. And she's going to be doing some rehab and stuff, but not quite sure where her rehab's going to be. So keep Libby in your prayers as well, if you will. The altar flowers are given to the glory of God and in loving honor and appreciation to our organist, Jana Thomas, and to our choir director, Mark Brown, by the members of the Chancel Choir. And we appreciate what you guys do. Couldn't do what we do without y'all and with the choir and everybody else. But thank y'all. Beautiful flowers for you today. Also, the Christmas play is tonight, 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary. When the play's over, we're going to have our annual happy birthday to Jesus party over in the fellowship hall. So hope everybody can come out and be there. Dad, bring a friend. Bring somebody with you and let them enjoy the play tonight. Christmas Eve, this coming up on Christmas Eve Tuesday, there will be the 7 o'clock service right in here. The big service that we generally have, candlelight communion. There will also be the 10:30 service down at the old church, candlelight communion there. Weather permitting, it'll be at the old church. But there will be a 10:30 service regardless. If it has to be here, it'll be here. But if it can and it's not real, real cold, then we'll have it down at the old church. I think that's about all of our announcements and concerns. But is there anything maybe? Thank you, Mark. Lessons and carols next week. So be aware of that. I know Mark's been handing out some lessons to some folks, but we always look forward to that. So be aware of that. Hope everybody has a wonderful week this week, and we got Christmas coming up, so it's going to be a very, very good time. But anything else maybe we've missed, don't want to overlook anybody. Well, at this time, if you would, let's all stand as we're able for our confession and forgiveness and our invocation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you, worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit so that we may live and serve you in newness of life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Please be seated if you would. Before we have the children come forward, we have a couple of folks who are going to join the church today. I'd like to have Nick Bear come up. Also, if Carol McClellan would come up, we'd like to welcome them into the congregation here at Oregon Lutheran and bring them up. I think everybody's seen them a couple of times, once or twice, but I'll tell you a little bit about them here. Nick said he was going to take service over, so I'm going to sit down and let him handle it. He was ready to go. Nick did really want to have to come up, but I told him just come on up. But, you know, he married into this family here at the church, and we're glad that he's a part of it. But he is coming transfer from St. James, so he's been through confirmation, confirmed, all that good stuff. But welcome, my friend. Many blessings. We're glad you're here. And it's Miss Carol. Miss Carol McClellan. She's been worshiping with us probably close to 6 months, I think. Maybe not quite that long. But she comes to us as a transfer from Ebenezer Lutheran, and we're glad to have her. We've had a lot of nice talks with her. And she really loves God and wants to grow in God and grow in His knowledge and things. And we've had some wonderful talks, and I've enjoyed those with you, man. But welcome, welcome. Many blessings. So give them the round of applause. And when you see them today, give them the right hand of fellowship and let them know how much you appreciate them being part of this church family. Amen. We'll let y'all go back unless you want to preach or something. Well, all right. Well, I mean, you can if you'd like. I know there's a couple of people who would say amen to that. We're going to have the children come forward, if you would. Let's have our children come forward. Let's have them come up. You go get a little. Thank you. All right, come on up. All right, we got everybody up here, all nice, and everybody doing good today. You doing okay? Now this is the third Sunday of Advent. We've got one more Sunday. And then you know what happens. What happened? Christmas. Because I'm sure you guys are excited about Christmas. It's a big deal. But Advent is a really big deal too. And on this third Sunday of Advent, what do we got here? We've got the angel. This is the angels' Sunday. The angels. Does anybody know what the angels did for Christmas? They're God's messengers. They are God's messengers. And the angels were the ones who were the first to let anybody know. The angel appeared unto Mary, told her. An angel appeared unto Elizabeth and to Zechariah about the birth of John the Baptist. The angels also appeared to the shepherds in the field, watching their flocks at night. So the angels are very, very important, but angels are God's messengers. They bring messages of peace and love and goodness to us from God. And today we celebrate Angels Sunday. And we appreciate all that they do. And God uses them in many and great ways. And sometimes we don't even know that they're around. And it also says that maybe sometime, but you'll never probably ever know it. You might even be around an angel and you won't even know. They might show up. You didn't even realize that it was an angel. Well, can we put the angel up in the manger today? Can we do that? Let's put this angel up here in the manger. Let's see if we can get the angel on. Okay, I hope we can. Okay, now the angel's there. And this is the angel Sunday. But I tell you what, let's pray. You'll have to wait till you get a sucker because we're going to light the candle. But let's pray. Most precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your ministering angels who are messengers of you. We pray today that we would be hearers of those messages, doers of those messages. We would always be sensitive to the message you're sending. Ask it all in Jesus' name. You guys, wait a minute. We're going to get the candle lit for today.
This morning we light the angel's candle. This candle reminds us of the holy messengers who proclaimed the good news of the Messiah's birth in Bethlehem. Let us pray.
Gracious and forgiving God, in this third Sunday of Advent, we are called upon to set aside time to worship you and make new commitments. As we consider the message of the angels for peace and goodwill on earth, help us to offer ourselves freely and without reservation. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
All right, guys. Y'all can get a sucker and go to children. Let's all stand as we're able. And now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation. Let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, give ear to our prayers and lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father, the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
The first reading comes from Isaiah 35th chapter. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water, and the haunt of jackals, where they lie down. The grass shall become reeds and rushes, and a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Here ends the reading. The second reading comes from James, the fifth chapter. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Here ends the reading.
Now the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. When John heard in prison about the deeds of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. And the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Let's begin with a very short word of prayer. Most precious God, we thank you for this word today. We thank you for John who came to show the way. We thank you for our Lord and Savior Christ. We pray today you might give us words to say. Take this seed, use it as you see fit. We ask it all in Jesus. Amen. We see two very great men being discussed in this chapter. First of all, John the Baptist, who, as Jesus said, if you can accept it, is Elijah. He is the voice of the final prophet who would speak of the coming of the Christ, the final prophet. There is no prophet after John. Now, I want to get you straight on something. There are people in the church world today who claim to be prophets. As I've told you many times, there is a famous German word used for that, and it's called baloney. Where you see, the prophets spoke of Christ's coming. It says, in the former times that God spoke to us through the law and through the prophets, but in these last days, He has chosen to speak to us through His very Son, Jesus Christ. You can claim to be anything you want. I have this feed that shows up on my Facebook feed that talks about these boss prophets. Somebody said you put prophet down wrong. It should have been prophet money, because that's what these people are trying to do. You cannot supersede the master. You cannot say anything that will overcome what the master has already said. These last days, God has spoken to us through His very Son. We don't need anybody else to prophesy to us. We have Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God Himself, Emmanuel, God who came to be with us. We don't need another prophet. But John was the one who came to make the path straight. It says to level it up. It literally means to take in the desert and kind of flatten it down. Think of one of those giant rollers. And you see that they put on the asphalt right before they finish it off. And it kind of flattens it out that last little bit. Well, John, he's the roller and the pan and the dozers and everything all in one. And he's going to make straight the way. And he's going to point directly to Jesus. And my friends, there is nobody else that is coming for us other than Jesus. There is no other way to Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. There are many people today who want to try to say, oh, there are many ways to Christ. You take the high road, I'll take the low road, and we'll all get there at the same time. I'm sorry. That goes back to that German word. There is only one way to God. That is through Jesus Christ. We can try to justify all sorts of things, but we have to understand that there is one God. And there is one Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. There's one mediator between God and man, the man, Jesus Christ. One redemptor, Jesus Christ. One Savior, Jesus Christ. One Lord, Jesus Christ. He's all that we need. He's all that's coming. I said this to you some time back. Many of you who are a little bit older, and you will remember this, you remember, some of you are younger, may have actually seen these. They've got some old TV stations show old shows a lot. But do you remember back when they had the old cowboy and Indian movies? I always had the cowboy and Indian movies. And one thing I've never figured out, I'll just leave you with this. The Indians never had a great strategy for fighting the cowboys. Have you ever noticed they all would come and they would run in a circle? It's not a very good military strategy. I guess as my cousin said, it was in the script and that's what you had to do. But to get beyond that, who was always coming when everybody was down to the last, they're almost out of bullets, everybody's dead tired, nobody hardly left, who's a coming? The cavalry. The cavalry's a coming. You know, a lot of, we think of John Wayne coming, Henry Fonda, we've seen some movies with him a coming, and different ones, Randolph Scott, other people, there comes the cavalry. Well, I hate to break it to you. That only happens in the movies. Calvary ain't coming. Calvary's done been here. Name's Jesus Christ. He's it. There's nobody left. He's all we've got. And we need to hold on to that. And here's the thing. He's enough. He's more than enough. We don't need the Calvary. We don't need anybody else. All we need is Jesus. John said, are you the one who is to come? Or shall we look for another? You see, John was in prison. John was getting ready to lose his life. And I think John probably knew what was getting ready to happen. Or at least he could surmise what was getting ready to probably happen. And at times like this, we get weak. At times like this, we lose sight. At times like this, we can wonder, has the message that's been sent to us, the real message? It can have doubts. Well, I want to tell you something. Faith is not a static proposition. Faith leaves room for doubt. And God understands our doubts. He understands our fears. And he took care of John's doubts, and John's fears that day. As John said, are you the one to come? Send his disciples. Ask him, are you the one? Or should we look for somebody else? Sometimes we want to look for somebody else. I will tell you, a lot of times in this day and age, people are looking for different saviors. I see a lot of people in the church who are looking for a savior to come out of Washington, D.C. or Raleigh, North Carolina, to where they have a big D on the front of their name or a big R on the front of their shirt. I'm sorry, folks. I'm sorry. That's not who we're to be looking for. Or maybe they're looking for some celebrity to come and bring us all together. Or some celebrity pastor. Or pastor, should I say. We have to say it very eloquently. We only need to look for Jesus. He is the one who is coming. We don't need to look for anybody else. You know, I'd have been happy, and I told you this one time, I know, but sometimes you have to repeat, because repeating is how you learn. Jared Lanning, who teaches Kellen and I martial arts, he said, three times is the trick. You got to do it at least three times. So we go through everything three times at least. We go over it a lot more than that. But here's the thing, I would have been happy if God, being angel Sunday, would have sent an angel to redeem me. I'd have been happy. Wouldn't hurt my feelings. I'd have been happy if he'd have sent Moses to redeem me. I'd have been happy if he'd have sent Elijah to redeem me. I'd have been happy if John the Baptist could have done it. But here's the thing. What nobody else could do but Christ. He is the one. The only one. In the Shema, our Jewish brothers and sisters say this, hear ye, O Israel, our God is one, the only one. There is no other. My friends, Jesus is that God. He is that one, the only one. He's the only one. We don't need to look for anybody else. And I hope today, just as John received comfort from the words of Christ, I hope you do too. Jesus said, go tell John, the deaf hear, the blind see, the dead are being raised, lepers are being healed. Then he tells them, he says this to them, and I hope you remember this. And then he says something about John that really should speak to us. Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John, and he says, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? You're just looking for something blowing in the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. What then did you go out to see? The last prophet that pointed to him. You see, sometimes those who point to God, they may not be the best dressed, they may not be the best looking, they may not be the most eloquent in their speech, but they're exactly what God needs at that time. John pointed that way to Christ. I pray today you will understand it. You need nothing more than Christ. Give me Jesus. That's all that I need. I will leave you with this. I have several friends of mine, even though I did not attend this institution, who had gone to, many of you have had pastors from this institution, Lutheran Southern Seminary. But I've seen this message because I was accepted there. I actually went and visited. And friends of mine had told me, they said, when you would go into the pulpit, into the chapel, and anybody other than those who had been in the chapel had not, wouldn't really know this. Maybe some do. But that you would walk into the pulpit and you would look, and there was a little message taped that only the person in there could see. And it said, "Sir, give us Jesus. Give us." That is all that any pastor or anyone needs to give you is Jesus. For he, my friend, is more. Of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again, glory, to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and ever-living God. But chiefly we are bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of our Lord, for he is the true Passover lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who by his death has destroyed death, and by his rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and joy. Amen. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and the suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out your Holy Spirit that by this holy communion we may know the unity we share with all your people, in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now, forever. Amen. And now let us pray the way our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated if you would. At this time, we invite all baptized Christians to join us in this Holy Communion. And we do have a gluten-free option if you'll just let us know. Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you, keep you in his grace, lead you, life. And the Lord's face shine upon you. God's grace be with you. God touch you.
Thank you.
Now go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.